Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's great to be with you here every Saturday on CFAX 1070. I'm Patty Mack. This is Lifestyle. Today on the show, we're going to talk to one of our favorite guests. Chef Therese Carl Sanders has been working towards something fantastic for many years since we've known her, and all her dreams are about to come true. So that's why she's a little bit freaked out.
A little bit. Thank you
How
for
are
having
you?
Me.
Nice to see you.
I'm really pleased to be here. It's been a while, so I'm glad that we have a chance to catch up.
It's always great having you on. Later in the show, we're going to talk to the people from the Rebels because they have a great season coming up, and we like to support local, and football is fantastic. And, you know, take the kids out, take the family out. Great sport to be part of. Also, we're going to talk to Lisa from London Drugs about ways to keep cool this summer and keep that makeup looking fresh. But right now, Chef Therese Carl Sanders, update us. I know you have Island Vittles.
Yeah.
You have Outlander Kitchen, both websites. And tell people just briefly about Outlander, the series.
Okay, so Outlander, the television series, is based on... it's a TV adaptation of the series of books called Outlander by Diana Gabaldon. Mm-hmm. And her first book was published in 1991, and she's been publishing ever since. We're up to book 8 now. And I have, my blog is outlanderkitchen.com, and it's based on all of the food described in her novels. And she's quite a prolific writer, and they're long historical fiction books, but it includes time travel, so they go back and forth in time. We started off in Scotland in season one in the TV adaptation. And
what year would that be?
Let's say mid-18th century.
Oh,
so
wow.
Just before Culloden in Scotland, which resulted in clearances of the Highlands, much like the Irish potato famine resulted in clearances of Ireland. Mm. So after Culloden, when unfortunately the Scots lose, Diana didn't change history on that one, they end up going eventually over to the States. So sort of pre-revolutionary America. And they end up in North Carolina and in the backwoods. And there's lots and lots of food. People think it's a little bit of a crazy idea to have a cookbook based on this 18th century Scottish food. Be a short cookbook, I hate to say. But because of the time travel, and it's fiction, so I get to have lots of fun, and I do lots of character-inspired recipes as well as historically accurate recipes as well.
It's not all haggis.
It's not all haggis. It's not all porridge. And it's not all bannocks. But there are those, and some of them are really historically accurate. For example, cockaliki soup is a chicken soup from Scotland, and the recipe I use is almost right out of an 18th century cookbook. But then when you start adapting other things, you have to play with taste and with ingredients because most things from that time period aren't really palatable to us now.
Well, you have a great sense of humor, and it really comes through in your writing. You talk about it's either really good food, really bad, salty, preserved, or the meat was, you know, freshly caught, bloody. And like, it sounds pretty horrific, some of it.
That's Diana's words. Those are Diana's words straight from the book, actually. And it's Claire, the main character, speaking, saying either it was fresh off the bone or fresh out of the garden and bloody delicious, or salted meat and porridge the whole time. Kale was another big one. Kale has invaded the Scottish language since the 18th century. There's a kale yard as a kitchen garden. The kale bell is the dinner bell. The kale pot is the cooking pot.
And so it's nothing new.
It's not new.
Food comes and goes.
Exactly. And now this kale fad that we see has very humble roots in Scottish cuisine. And it was really used pretty much 10 months of the year, and that's the majority of what they ate was kale, porridge, and barley.
Wow.
Which is now, you see, once I say that, you can see why I've had to adapt some of the recipes to make them a little bit more exciting
for
21st
century.
Well, you
have to look at the website, and you know, you have a great imagination because you've been many things in your life, and then a chef living on Pender Island, where you had to really kind of grow your business. And you came home from a walk and had this food for fiction idea.
Yeah,
like,
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I did. I actually, it started off shortly after my father died, and I realized that I wasn't really doing what I wanted to do. And I ended up going to the state of Maine for a 7-day silent retreat.
And really?
Yeah.
No, I can't see you doing that.
No. I'm a talker. There's no doubt about it.
Were you humming or something?
And no, not even eye contact. We weren't even allowed to do eye contact. And I tell you, when you can't communicate with people, things happen in your brain very quickly. And I realized that I needed to go back to my roots. And my dad was a big foodie, and he used to drag us around Vancouver, sort of on the wrong side of town, on the right side of town, and try anything. And I don't really know what happened there, why I didn't pursue that even as a young person, but I didn't. So after this retreat in Maine, I decided that I needed to go back to school. Unfortunately, I have a really supportive husband. So off I went. We lived on Pender Island at that point, and off I went back to Vancouver. I lived with my mom for 6 months and went to culinary school. I think mom and I both had a little adaptive period there. Yeah. And I did really well at cooking school. I was so passionate about it, I actually ended up winning the medal. So I finished the top of the class. And then I went back to Pender and worked in some restaurants. But as an older person with a married life, cooking dinner for people in a restaurant isn't conducive to a happily married life. So then I started baking buns for the farmer's market.
The best on the island.
Yeah, and doing a lot of catering. And then one day, as you say, I was walking in the woods with the dog, and this image of pigeon rolls with truffles from Outlander popped into my head, and it's in the third book. And by the time I got home, I had a 5-question little foodie interview for Diana Gabaldon, who's the author, and I fired it off with a request to also make this recipe and put it on my blog at the time, islandvittles.com. And her publicist forwarded it to her, and she got back to me the next day really excited about the idea, and she's been generous with her support ever since. She's really, really helped this idea along, and we've been working at it for almost 6 years now. And I got contacted last October by her agent telling me that they were finally ready to go with this cookbook. So I have her permission. And I've now just signed a contract with Random House in New York in the last couple of weeks to put together a big, beautiful Outlander kitchen cookbook that I am just so excited about, I can't stand.
I'm so proud of you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
It's well-deserved because it comes from the heart. It wasn't an overnight success. And even being a chef, you know, everything happens for a reason. Why this came back to you about your dad and why you love food. And that's it. You found your passion and you're being rewarded.
Absolutely.
Now, right?
It is. And it's a good lesson. I mean, I had a lot of support along the way, but it's a good lesson to follow your instincts and follow your dreams. And if no matter how hard you have to work to do it, keep going at it. I had a lot of resistance from some corners when I started this, and I've sort of kicked down one fence after another. With Diana's help and with my husband's help supporting me all the way, because I haven't had a job. I haven't had an income in 5 years, and this has been a bit of a tough stretch for us, but we're almost there. We can just taste it now. We can taste it coming. So I'm working really hard again, and 12, 13-hour days cooking, making recipes. I've made 3 batches of English baked beans in the last week, which is 3 pounds of dried beans. And if I eat another bean in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to scream.
Maybe you'd like to turn off, please. Baked beans. That was, my mommy was English, and a lot of baked beans. They were delicious.
Yeah, and they're tomato based, and they're actually not even baked. They're boiled on the stove, and the sauce is made on the stove. So it's a little bit different than what you would think of as a Boston baked molasses based bean. But still really tasty, and something that the English have with their eggs on toast almost every morning. Yes.
I remember that. Yes. I love beans. Well, you know, it's fantastic. I think that you've worked for it, and now you can see the finish line, so you just need to breathe. It'll all happen. This is a very stressful period.
Yes.
But how fantastic that you're going to be, you were saying, you know, maybe at some big, can you say?
Yeah,
well,
it would be my dream, and I'll just throw it out to Random House right now, to tour with the book. And I think we will do a tour, but if we got it ready in time for Comic-Con down in San Diego, it would be a big hit. I know, for example, the Game of Thrones has a cookbook attached to it as well. And that was published a few years ago, and the author went down to Comic-Con, and she was a big hit. And I'd love to do that. Not only to mention, it'd probably be the only time I'd ever actually get a ticket into Comic-Con, because they're so hard
cool.
to get.
We met Conan O'Brien, it's a long story, in L.A. Last month, and got to see a show and go backstage.
Okay.
And they were going to be taping their show at Comic-Con.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
I have been down there, but never been through the gates into the actual convention. I went down for the Outlander premiere in July or August of last year. So it's a big deal. And if you're from a small island like I am and haven't been in the city in a long time, it's great people watching.
Well,
you can just sit, lean against a building and watch the world go by in a comic kind of way. It's pretty funny.
It sounds like fun, but you know, you better get ready for a big launch because small island life is going to change.
It is. And Diane is writing the introduction to the book, which is really exciting. And with her name on the cover, it's going to sell a lot of copies. So we're very, very excited.
Well, will you come back to see us?
Oh, of course. I'm sure we'll have at least one signing in Victoria and one in Vancouver and hopefully one on Pender in the little bookstore there.
Hopefully we'll have some books to give away maybe.
That would be, oh yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Okay, when we come back, talking more and maybe a few recipe ideas for this weekend.
Yeah.
When news breaks, Victoria counts on CFAX 1070.
This is just coming into the newsroom. Police are reporting.
If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Victoria? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Victoria area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Victoria is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-591-2316. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-591-2316. That's 1-800-591-2316.
CFAX 1070, live on location.
I'm Corinne May, the Victoria International Buskers Festival, on now until next Sunday, the 26th. It's BC's largest street performers festival, and CFAX is a proud sponsor. We're set up here at Ship Point at the Inner Harbor. We're here until 4 today. Mr. Animation is performing right now and really wowing the crowd. There are 6 stages throughout downtown, including the Cool FM CFAX stage on Government Street between Yates and Fort. Now, performances there start at 6 o'clock. Be sure to visit the International Food Village on the waterfront. It's open till 10 today. Performance styles throughout the festival include music, hula hooping, acrobatics, stunts, magic, juggling, even with basketballs. There's dancing. The list goes on. One thing for sure, you'll be amazed at what all these performers can do. Stop by the CFAX 1070 tent at Ship Point. Enter to win 2 tickets to see Community Living Victoria's Concert for Hope Help Home featuring Chantal Kraviazic. Remember to tip. A good rule of thumb is simply to give what you can afford. Hope to see you here at the Victoria International Buskers Festival. For CFAX 1070, I'm Corinne May.
Have I got a pitch for you? Imagine the Little Mermaid as a fighter pilot.
Pass.
Okay, I get it. Picture a world where salmon rule the air, where not.
Pass.
Fine, okay. One word. Shrimpicane.
Pass!
If you only see one movie this year about airborne fish, make it this one. Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no. Wednesday at 6.
Not again.
Only on Space.
Clam Cyclone. Clam Clone. Clam Monsoon.
Get out!
We are back. I'm Patty Mack. You're listening to Lifestyle on CFAX 1070. In the studio with me is Chef Teresa Carl Sanders, who is going to have a huge success. Her cookbook's coming out, Random House in New York, in the spring of 2016. Outlander Kitchen. And you were just at an adventure with this whole series in North Carolina.
In North Carolina, which is which is a location in the Outlander books, in the later ones, up in the hills, so northwest North Carolina, not by the shore, but in the backwoods. And a lot of Scots settled there because it looks a lot like Scotland when you get there. And there's a big Highland Games called the Grandfather Mountain Games, right on the foot of Grandfather Mountain near Banner Elk, North Carolina.
And descriptive everything is. Oh, hey.
And that's it's probably about 10 miles down the road from where Diana Gabaldone says she found her inspiration for that location in the book. And there's a great company who I've become friends with called Novel Adventures. And they will take you anywhere. They do tours. They have tours down to New Zealand to do Lord of the Rings. They've got, they were actually talking to someone about maybe some Last of the Mohicans tours up in the New York area. But they invited me down there and we cooked We did an cook your own Outlander lunch class. So 24 women.
You were the chef?
I was the chef in charge. And we were in two rustic cabins with two rustic kitchens without even a rolling pin. And pastry was on the menu. And so I looked around the kitchen and I found the paper towel holder and I unscrewed the base from it. And there we went. We had, and that's pretty much, adaptation in the kitchen is really important. And in the 18th century kitchen, that's what they would have done, right? They wouldn't have always had the right ingredients. They would have played with ingredients. They would have played with tools. And that's what we did. And I have to say, it was an amazing experience to have in each cabin, I had six women and we had two different classes, one at 11 and one at one. But to have six different women around the table, covered in flour, rolling out pastry with a paper towel holder, and crimping hand pies, crimping brighties, which are very similar to a Cornish pasty.
I've seen them on your site. They look
yes,
good.
Yes, they're really good. They don't have any vegetables in them, but it's meat and onion, and it's really, really tasty. And that's the way you build community. And that's what we sort of, I couldn't believe how loud and the laughter that was going on in that kitchen, because it was funny and it was fun. And we sat down and had a great meal after, a salad, some brighties, a gingerbread cake that the ladies made. It was beautiful.
I think you're right. I think that whether we're doing a craft or making yep. something to eat, I always have the best time around the table. So if you can make something out of it before and everybody has a skill, and you know, not everybody's going to be good at everything they do, but
no.
have fun to try.
And we had older women teaching younger women. After I gave one brief demonstration and ran off to the other kitchen to make sure everything was off and going on okay over there, the other ladies that had more experience stepped in. And it's one, I get lots of great feedback on my website from comments of people that are saying, you know, wow, it's so good to cook from scratch again. Mm-hmm. But when you get them in person and they're telling you how much fun they've had for the last 2 hours cooking lunch and they want to go back and make them for their families at home, it's really touching. And it really affected me quite deeply, actually. I've made friendships with women from Outlander all over the world, and this last weekend is no exception. There were 30 of us all together, and I think most of us will be friends for a long, long time.
That's so cool. See, you're expanding yourself now, all these different areas, right, with doing this.
Yeah, well, you know, I got invited down there. What am I going to say? No.
Yeah, how cool. And, you know, I think I love going to the museum just to see some of the old settings and the kitchens. And I think with our generation, and we look at our kids with all the, you know, social media and yeah. high-tech stuff, to think back to those times, can you paint a little picture about what a day would look like, what the kitchen, and if they're making meals, like how early in the day they have no refrigeration, what do they do and what does that look like?
Like, I actually just wrote an essay entitled The Cookery and Diet of 18th Century Highlanders. So I have a pretty good idea because I've done a lot of research. And an 18th century Highland croft, which is what they lived in, were tiny houses. Most of them had no windows. There was a small peat fire in the middle that burned all day long for heat and for light. But if you've ever sat around a peat fire, you actually get more light from a candle.
Wow.
So there would be a small hole in the roof where the smoke would escape. No table. There might be a bed for the mom and dad, but everybody else sort of slept on straw. The animals were in the same building.
Oh my God.
And beyond the butter churn and the plow and a few stools, that was really all that was in there for most of them, unless they were wealthy, and crofters weren't wealthy. It was a cooperative venture, mostly of families that worked large stretches of land owned by the laird or the clansman or the chief. And it was a hard life. The woman got up early in the morning and put the pot on. She would have had a cast iron pot that hung from the roof, hung over the fire, and maybe once a week they would have had a bone to put in the pot. So unless they were on the coast or near a loch where they could get fish, most of the time, as I said before, they were eating kale and porridge and barley. And it would have been a tough life. The bone would have been passed from croft to croft in the village. So you would have had families sharing one bone per week. So when you think about, then they went outside, they were cutting peat, they were really hard manual labor on the farm. The soil was never really improved, and oats were pretty much the only thing that grew, which is why they had no wheat. So the bread was very basic. It was bannocks over the fire, and most of the time it was a porridge or a pottage. So started with most likely water and barley, and maybe some oats and kale. And as I said before, kale, kale, kale. And the only time they didn't eat kale was when it failed in the early spring. And then they would have moved to nettles. So they also would have been collecting and foraging nettles and maybe some sorrel and maybe some wild garlic. So it was a hard life, and the woman didn't have a table even to prepare dinner on. So she would have huddled over the fire, working by that light with her knife, her very basic knife, and a bowl. And she would have, that's what she would have had to prepare for her family. And she would have made two main meals, one in the morning, that sort of cooked until midday, and they sat down for their main meal in midday. And then the evening was consisted mostly of leftovers and probably some bannocks and some oat cakes.
Wow, you have done so much research.
I have
really painted a picture. It's really, really interesting.
It sounds
horrible, but so interesting.
It is horrible. But I picture these women as, you know, very hunched over by the time they're 30. They would have had several kids at that point. I find it fascinating, but it really makes me appreciate my modern kitchen and all the fun I get to have with fictional food. Right?
Absolutely, we shouldn't complain. And just talking about food, so the weekend's coming up, and I know you believe in buying local, and
yes.
I know you have great recipes on all your sites. But what about salads and some grilling this weekend? What kind of great things you've been looking at lately?
There's tons of tomatoes out right now because the sun has been so hot, and I was actually in just down at the farmer's market earlier, and there were tons of tomatoes. And basil. So I would probably do a caprese salad and go out and go to the deli and get some good mozzarella, either some bocconcini or maybe some burrata, which you can get at a couple of different places in Victoria.
What's the difference between that?
I don't really know, actually. But bocconcini is unripened mozzarella, so it's the balls you find in the liquid.
Right.
Burrata is a creamier cheese.
Okay.
And it's really nice on tomatoes with some basil, or even if you don't have fresh basil, pesto.
A little olive oil.
A little salt and pepper.
Yeah.
And a grilled fish. Lots of salmon this year, too, eh? I've got friends who've been catching salmon for many, many weeks now, and there's lots going into the freezer. So
that sounds like a good meal.
Yeah, you know, and really simple. Like, it wouldn't take more than about 15 minutes to put together, actually. So
right, because I know you don't like, other than the book, slaving over hot stove this time of year. You like grilling.
No, nobody does. Nobody wants to turn the oven on. I actually just had a huge, massive kitchen renovation, and I love my kitchen, but I don't want to turn the oven on right now. It's too hot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, tell people how to get a hold of you on both your sites.
It's outlanderkitchen.com, or my local food blog, which I haven't updated in a little while because I've been busy, is islandvittles.com, but there's lots and lots of recipes that go back years that are seasonal, local, and fresh, and you should really check it out.
Well, it's been fantastic having you on the show, Teresa.
Thank you for having me back.
I can't wait to hear more of your adventures.
Thank you.
I'll have to try. Well, no, I don't think I'll try some of these recipes, but maybe a few. Okay, when we get back after the news, we're going to talk about Rebels football.
Riddle me this. What's 3,000 square feet but hard to spot? It's the Royal Museum Shop on the main floor of the Royal BC Museum. Not only do you not have to pay admission to shop, all purchase proceeds support our world-class museum. You'll find the most intriguing and unique items, from art cards to original artwork, jewelry, toys, books, and clothes for all ages, many of them distinctly BC. Look for the shop to the left of the museum's main entrance or ask about it at the info desk. The Royal Museum Shop, Victoria's best-kept secret.
Hi, this is Dr. Harlow Hollis, Medical Director at DermaSpa. Say goodbye to stubborn fat with CoolSculpting, a non-surgical fat reduction treatment. Our treatment team invites you to Cool Nights, a CoolSculpting one-hour informational session on July the 21st at 5:30 or 6:30 p.m., where you can learn more about the benefits of CoolSculpting and receive a personal consultation.
CoolSculpting Cool Nights at DermaSpa. Book early, space is limited. Visit DermaSpa's physician-led team by plastic surgeon Dr. Harlow Hollis at 1830 Oak Bay Ave or at dermaspa.ca.
Victoria's breaking news and talk that matters. CFAX 1070.
It's 1:30 on Saturday, July 18th. Good afternoon. In the CFAX newsroom, I'm Rob Freeman. Flames broke out at a house early this morning. The Victoria Fire Department responded just after 1 o'clock and found the fire in the rear of the home spreading to the roof on 5th Street near Quadra and Topaz. And there were two people in the house at the time. They were both out safely before fire crews got there. The cause is under investigation, but the fire did about $400,000 in damage. The Ministry of Environment says tests from a contaminated soil dumping site near Shawnigan Lake have found no exceedances of concern for water quality. The results were shared with Shawnigan Lake residents at a meeting back on Thursday. There has been concern about the soil being dumped there, potentially contaminating the local watershed. The ministry says some groundwater results from the South Island aggregate site did find elevated levels of arsenic, but that's also something known to be naturally occurring on Vancouver Island. The province admits some soil sampling results found infrequent spots that marginally exceeded provincial contaminated sites regulations for lead and zinc. The ministry says it will continue to monitor water quality at the site. As the cleanup continues, NexN Energy is working to find out why an almost brand new pipeline failed in Alberta. The company issued an apology yesterday for the major leak discovered Wednesday near its Long Lake oil sands facility outside Fort McMurray. And not only did the pipeline fail, but the warning system didn't detect the leak either. About 5 million liters of bitumen, produced water, and sand spilled into the surrounding muskeg. And Buckingham Palace says it is disappointed with a tabloid newspaper for publishing images of the young queen giving a Nazi salute with her family back in 1933.
The images printed in The Sun show the Queen, then about 7 years old, at the family home in Balmoral, Scotland, with her Uncle Edward, mother and sister. We see Elizabeth's mother and herself making the Nazi salute as the rest of the family laugh. The Palace says it's disappointing that the short film, shot 8 decades ago and apparently from the family's private archive, has been exploited in this manner. Military historian James Holland has told The Sun that the royals were joking rather than in any way being Hitler's supporters. It's well known that the monarch's parents took a fiercely anti-Nazi stand during World War II. Charles de Ledesma, London.
CFAX weather's coming up.
Wow, it's so immense.
What, the universe?
No, our sunroof.
The 2015 Volkswagen Tiguan with panoramic sunroof. Get up to $3,500 cash discount or 0% financing for up to 84 months on other select models during the Volkswagen DOS Summer Sales Event. Hurry, offer ends July 31st. Visit your Volkswagen dealer or VW.ca for details.
CFAX weather, sunny and hot today, a high of 27 degrees. Clear tonight, a low of 15. Sunny tomorrow and a high of 26. And the sunshine sticks around for pretty much the rest of the week into next weekend. Right now in downtown Victoria, it's 24 degrees. I'm Rob Freeman, your next news at 2 o'clock. Breaking news when it happens on CFAX 1070, it's 1:33.
Trail Appliances BC Lions Football.
Friday. The Lions look to sink the Boatmen when the Argos come calling at BC Place. Play-by-play at 7. Join me alongside Julio Caravetta for BC Lions Football on the Lions Radio Network.
The BC Lions play here.
Brought to you by Dumont Tirecraft, Harbor Air Seaplanes, and Capital Iron.
This is where the pros play. CFAX 1070. Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Well, what a great tie-in. During the break, you heard BC Lions. Of course, CFAX is your BC Lions headquarters. We have all the games right here. And we have local football here, junior football, which is West Shore Rebels. Many of these players go on to great schools. They go on to BC Lions and other teams, and even NFL. This team has been rebuilt over the last year. Coach J.C. Boyce is the head coach. Lise Pastro is the president. And welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Great to
good
talk
to
you.
With you.
Yes. Well, you know, the Rebels has a fine tradition here in town, but this year it's even being kicked up more. And I know people in Victoria love local sports, and this is really high-end sports with some great athletes and the coaching. And JC, I know you don't want to brag too much, but give us a little of your background, because you have a pretty impressive background.
Oh, well, impressive. You love football. I just love the game and have come from a strong, pretty storied football family down in the U.S. and fell in love with one of you lovely Canadian girls and
good man.
Ended up here. And so I've coached a little bit, but all my friends and family are, when are you coming home? And I'm here to stay. I absolutely love this community. I love we have started the Rebels. We're definitely bringing a very intense U.S. approach in the terms of the way we prepare the athletes and the schemes we run and the way we develop them. And you know what? Credit to these kids. They have really bought in. And, you know, we have a lot of work to do, but we're doing really well. I think the fan base here is going to be very excited with the product on the field this year.
I'm sure, and you give a lot of your time, and I know you do coaching across the country, well, to both countries, the U.S. and Canada. So, I mean, you're a, without bragging, you have pretty good credentials, JC.
Yeah, I mean, I make my living coaching football. Yeah. As mentioned, down in the U.S., I work for two different companies. I work for the Nash Football Academy, which is in partnership with the NFL, and does a lot of development work. So I train, you know, advanced high school kids, college kids, even work a lot of NFL guys. And I'm specific to the quarterback position. And then I do a lot of player evaluation. So a lot of colleges lean on me to provide them evaluations on high school going to college players and even college going to NFL players. I travel about 120 days a year down in the U.S. And we're starting to grow. We started what we call our Canada Quarterback Initiative. We're really going to focus now on helping accelerate the development of Canadian athletes on the quarterbacks as well for here north of the border in Canada.
So I guess you figured with the spare hour or two you had, you'd fill it right up and do the Rebels.
Yeah, basically my wife said, you need to do something. Our slow time of the year is actually in season, you know, because our work is done immediately after the season and all the way, you know, through culminate when the season begins. So it's been a little bit of a tight squeeze as we've wrapped up our summer programs. But we've made it work. The board, Elise, have been very, very supportive of my travel schedule. The kids have understood, and we've made it work, and we're actually making it work well.
That's fantastic. And Elise, you come from a football family here. Many people know the Pastro name, and you're the president now. Your boys are at Belmont and now playing in this league. Tell me about why you got involved and how excited you are for this year, having JC and all these fine, fine coaching staff you have.
Football, actually, my boys started off as soccer baseball players because the seasons aligned, and I had a life change about 2004 where it took us to Duncan, and both my boys ended up playing for the Couch and Bulldogs. And I'm just a true believer in embrace whatever your children are involved in, whether it's school, their sports, their extracurricular activities, that they have a better experience. So I've always taken that approach with anything with my boys. So, you know, get involved, be a part of the process, and make it better for everyone involved. And a year and a half ago, the Rebels became mine.
Wow. Kind of the highest pinnacle you can get in this town. And tell us about your boys, too, and what they're doing.
Matt is just graduated from Belmont. He actually originally was looking at an offer at University of Alberta. He had a pretty serious injury in August of 2013, which sidelined him for his grade 11 season. And I don't think he's quite ready to go off to the university level. And so stay home, go to Camosun, take some university transferable courses, and do your full schedule. Because players have 7 years to do 5 years of CIS. Mm-hmm. I consider Rebels football to be that bridge to get these boys more physically and mentally prepared of what it takes to be successful in the CIS. And so luckily, JC, through some brainstorming with Matt, has seen it, because when mom says it, it's just a womp, womp, womp. But when the head coach tells you what your mom's trying to tell you, it made sense. So,
well, you know, I think JC's had a great impact on many boys and has been able to attract players that are already playing CIS, Ashton McKinnon, Armin Perwell, and my boy Sheldon Mack.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, it's been fabulous. And it's really, they can play now and do what they love to do. And they're young, and they
That's
get the
right.
best coaching. And, you know, that approach, like you were saying, JC, about maybe the American approach, but how to look at it, because it is a business, and you have to look at how to be the best trained you can be to go on if you want to do other things.
Well, some athletes just need the additional development time. And actually, I think this is a huge advantage for Canada is the, you know, over the U.S., whereas in the U.S., once you start playing post-high school, you know, your eligibility clock begins to tick. It's a little set up a little different here in the CIS. It's more of an age-based thing. So some of these great kids that are already very, very good, very committed football players, but need a little extra development. You know, whether it's just natural maturity of what I call, you know, hitting their man strength, or maybe it's further technique development or broadening their schemes. You know, we want to be that for those athletes. You know, we're extremely excited to have, you know, Sheldon, your son. He's a great inspirational kid. He's a great leader and have a high football acumen. You know, getting Armin and Ash now, it's been outstanding. And actually, we're getting more and more Mountain Dog kids all the time. We just picked up, looks like we get James Bradley and James Nichols. So we've got some great Mount Doug kids that we're starting
awesome.
So the
Mount Doug in Belmont, awesome, awesome, awesome. We're going to come back in 2 minutes to talk more. I want to know all about the tickets and how people can know about coming to the games and supporting our local Rebels. Back in two.
The Victoria International Buskers Festival is here. And CFAX 1070 invites you downtown for some unforgettable shows from the world's best street performers, magicians, jugglers, unicyclists, acrobats, and more. Plus, check out the International Food Village in the Inner Harbor, the Victoria International Buskers Festival, proudly supported by CFAX 1070. CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Fairway Markets.
Hi, Victoria. I'm Caitlin Livingston, letting you know what's going on around the area. You can play in the sand during a festival this summer. Yes, that is right. August 9th is a Cadbro Bay Festival. Enjoy building your own sand sculpture at the beach or take part in hands-on activities, including bouncy castles, face painting, giant hamster balls, hand drum workshops, information displays, and arts and craft stations. The week everyone has been waiting for, the Buskers Festival has started. There are buskers from all over the world coming to our city to celebrate our fifth annual festival. The event is family-oriented and free to attend. Entertainers include flamethrowers, acrobats, magicians, jugglers, hula hoopers, giant puppets, balloonists, musicians, and more. That has been your Community Connections brought to you by Fairway Market. No club cards, no points, no gimmicks, just great card-free pricing.
Get to know Mitsubishi. Get to know where it's from. And where you can get one.
Finding directions to Mitsubishi dealership.
Get to know its power. And its 10-year powertrain limited warranty. There's no better time to drive a Mitsubishi than during the Get to Know Mitsubishi event on Now. For a limited time, get 2 monthly payments on us. Plus, get 0% purchase financing for up to 84 months on select vehicles. On approved credit, conditions apply. See dealer for details. Mitsubishi. Built better. Back better.
Hillside's having a whale of a sale. Now through this Sunday only, everything we need for summer is clearance priced. I'll be at guest services. See you there.
Hillside's Whale of a Sale summer clearance features over 80 tables and racks loaded with deals. Stop by guest services for a chance to win a beautiful bistro patio set. Get additional entries with every Hillside receipt dated July 10th to 19th. With over 100 stores and services, there's only one thing left to say.
Hillside, look at us now.
Improve your health, your fitness, and your life. Weekend Wellness with Brittany King, Saturdays at noon on CFAX 1070.
We are back. I'm Patty Mack. You're listening to Lifestyle right here on CFAX 1070 every Saturday from 1 to 2. On the phone, I have Coach J.C. Boyce with the West Shore Rebels and Elise Pastra, who is a parent, also the president of the West Shore Rebels, and her son is a player. We're talking about the season coming up. So, Elise, tell us when our first home game is, when the out-of-town game is, and how people can get tickets for the season.
We are on the road for our first game, July 25th. We're heading up to Kelowna to play the Okanagan Sun. Mm-hmm. And we have our season opener at home on Saturday, August 1st. Kickoff time, 7 o'clock. Anyone can go to www.westshorerebels.ca and they can buy tickets online. They can buy them via email. And, of course, they can order by credit card. All four options are on our website.
And there are all the games listed on there, too. And another home game is on the 15th.
Yes,
so
we have an amazing new website this year, so it's very user-friendly, and everything you need to know is right on there.
Absolutely fantastic. And, you know, with the tickets, buy a full season, because if you don't think you know football, It's a fantastic sport. You know, in Victoria, we watch the Harbor Cats. We watch the Salmon Kings. We love our sports. This is a great one. If you haven't participated in football, we have some outstanding football players here in this community. And it's a great time to get behind this because a lot of these players go on to big things. JC, tell us some of the alumni. You know, I know a lot of people know Andrew Harris from the BC Lions, but tell us some of these places these kids go on to.
You know, they go on, a lot of them go on and play, you know, CIS, earn the opportunity to have their entire education paid for with you know, athletic scholarships. A lot of them go straight into the, you know, the CFL. A local favorite, Tim O'Neill, went to Mount Doug, then played some community football and played for West Shore. Then went on to Calgary for a couple of years, and, you know, I think he started like his ninth year in the CFL. So a lot of young men really have an opportunity to take their passion and leverage it into, you know, good life path for themselves.
Right, and I think another big thing that you're trying to stress with these kids, JC, is that being part of the community, because that's another thing about people from the island. We like to give back, and these kids are learning that by some of the service work they're doing.
Absolutely. That's partly why I got involved was, you know, the entire board, Lise, and was really spirited by a gentleman named Jason Sperling, who's just been fantastic, and not only stressing that it's important, but teaching the young men why it's important. And what was really exciting to me, Patty, is we're starting to see genuine, you know, authentic buy-in from the kids and wanting to do that. They understand, you know, they have an obligation, and it's a joy to be out there. And what we really were stressing is uniting this community, you know, getting the Mount Doug kids out, getting the Spectrum athletes out, getting the Belmont players out. And it's been really exciting starting to see these kids that in the years past have been rivals, and now seeing them go shoulder to shoulder as they work in the community, shoulder to shoulder as they work in practice, and now here real soon, shoulder to shoulder as they start winning games for this community.
Absolutely, and it is teamwork. You know, Coach Townsend always has taught these kids this, that it's about the greater goal, and that is what life is, right? These kids are real athletes, and they train a lot. They're real pros at what they're doing, but you need to give back always, and that's the life lesson that sometimes we don't get till later in life, but it's important to start when they're young.
Well, you know how good a bunch of kids you have when they're excited to give back. They're not doing that obligation. I really hope that the listeners will take an opportunity to go watch these kids, get to know them a little bit, because they're going to see the same things I do. These kids really authentically want to do neat things for themselves, for their teammates, and their community.
Absolutely. And I'm really glad because Shell's back and he can get a job, because getting to CIS schools took a lot of work. And now he's got a job at Fairways. He can give back that way, too, to his mom and dad.
Absolutely.
Okay, so people can get a hold of you guys how, Elise?
The website is the best spot to go. I mean, we're just in this day and age, it's what's easier for everyone. They go onto the website if they need to get hold of any of us. All of our emails are there with all of the various positions, whether you wanted to look at sponsorship. A sponsorship director is listed there. If you wanted to volunteer on game day, the volunteer game day coordinator's email is there. We've got it set up in a way that if there's any questions or any way that you want to be involved with West Shore Rebels, just visit www.westshorerebels.ca.
Fantastic. And thank you guys for all you do, and all the coaches and staff and the Mount Doug and Belmont and Spectrum, all the people that do this for our community, for our children, to raise them up. And that's what they're doing. And there's some great rivalry. You know, the VI Raiders, that's going to be a fun game. So buy your season ticket. I want to be on the road with them too. But make sure we'll see you August 1st in the great facilities West Shore Rebels are at. Nice talking to you both. And go Rebels.
You have a great weekend, Patty. Thank you.
You betcha. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Lisa Smith.
Punishing yourself for buying the wrong mattress. It's never too late for a faucet.
Hi, I'm Dwayne from Faucet Mattress. Do yourself a favor and come and see how affordable all-natural, locally made mattress can be. Our open concept allows you to see them being made while you test different styles and firmnesses. We even make all-natural crib mattresses.
Sleep naturally with Faucet Mattress. Proudly handmade in Victoria at 408 John Street. Online at FAWCETTmattress.com.
CFAX 1070, live on location.
Good afternoon.
afternoon. I'm Corrine May at the Victoria International Buskers Festival. It's on now until next Sunday, and you know, it's BC's largest street performers festival. CFAX is a proud sponsor of the festival, and we're set up here at Ship Point at the Inner Harbor. And just coming up at 2 o'clock is Circus Fireman. That's the performance, and people are already sitting in the stands anticipating that. It's going to be a great show. Six stages throughout downtown, including the Cool FM CFAX stage on Government Street between Yates and Fort. Performances there start at 6 o'clock, but there's lots going on up until then this afternoon. And performance styles include music, hula hooping, acrobatics, stunts, magic, and more. One thing for sure, you'll be amazed at what all these performers can do. Please stop by the CFAX 1070 tent at Ship Point. Enter to win two tickets to see Community Living Victoria's Concert for Hope Help Home in November. That's featuring Chantal Kraviazic. And just remember to tip the festival performers. Whatever you can afford to give is fine. Hope to see you here at the International Buskers Festival. For CFAX 1070, I'm Corrine May.
Our real estate market is hot. Have you noticed how fast the sold signs are going up? Wouldn't it be nice to have a commission break when a property sells so quickly? This is Kevin Ramsey, lead realtor of Fair Realty's Sweet Home Victoria real estate team. All of my listing contracts have commission reductions if the property sells within a month. A quick sale means less work and less advertising for me, and transferring the savings to you makes perfect sense. So remember, when it's time to sell your sweet home, go to sweethomevictoria.com or find Sweet Home Victoria real estate team in the yellow pages.
Here with you, Lifestyle, every Saturday on CFAX 1070 from 1 to 2 o'clock. If you want to know more about me or my guests, please contact me at my website, lifestylepattymack.com. That's where you'll find me for real estate and radio. And joining me today is Lisa Smith on the phone from London Drugs. We're talking cosmetics, keeping fresh and cool this summer, maybe a little waterproofing. How are you, Lisa?
Great. How are you doing?
I am fantastic.
Now, good.
We haven't talked for a long time, and I thought this time of year, you know, sometimes you don't want to wear too much stuff, but what you wear, you don't want it to run down your face. Eyeliners, foundation, lipstick, what kind of stuff, what products, even eyebrows, what products work really well?
What everybody's going for right now is a BB cream. So instead of going out in the sun, you've got a full makeup on. It's a tinted cream.
Mm-hmm.
It actually has a sun factor of 25. It's a 5-in-1, so it helps soften the skin, it helps for dark spots, and it just gives a very fresh look to the face.
Oh, so that's kind of that dewy look. It has a bit of that, too.
That's absolutely. And mascara, waterproof mascara, of course, this time of year, and especially with this weather we're having, waterproof mascara is huge right now, and there's all colors of the rainbows.
Now, some say they are waterproof. Do you have any brands you'd like specifically that work better than others?
There is a couple. We have a line, NYX, which is a new line out of Los Angeles. That's very big, and they're colored also. They've got pink and lime green and blue. They're very popular. They also have...
Not for this old bird.
I know, I tried. It looked a bit different. But Lancome is very popular also. It's very conditioning to the lashes. It doesn't cause any brittle lashes, and you can swim... And no problem.
I love Lancome. That's a really nice mascara.
Yes.
Now, eyebrows, you know, eyebrows are so huge now. And I've always, you know, I was a makeup artist, and I've always thought eyebrows were, like, the most important thing for framing a face. Now, you're going to put this stuff on, and you don't want to go down, like, say you've got nothing hardly there. How do you, what products, are there anything that resemble the mascara now for eyebrows?
Yes, it's a mascara shape, and you apply it on, and there is waterproof also. So if you're going, you know, into the ocean, that type of thing, it won't dissolve.
Okay, no ocean. Okay.
Right. So, yeah, no ocean. The thing with the mascara brow, they're fabulous. It looks very, very natural. But you do need, you know, a bit of hair so that it will adhere to it to give that shape. They also have a dye which we carry, which works beautifully. And it's got the shapers that you can use. So you've got, you know, the even brows. And, of course, the pencils.
And also, I think you said last time maybe that there's something that can actually grow eyebrows?
Yes, it's a serum. A lot of the companies now do have it, and you just apply it on. It's something that you have to use every day. Once you start it, you finish the whole tube. It was actually developed by when they were having cataracts done. They found that there was a solution in there that was helping promote growth, hair growth. It's huge success. It's
amazing. You won't get a unibrow or anything, will you?
Only if you slip, but otherwise, no.
Okay. So you have to be a little careful. Don't do that when you're having a glass of wine, right?
There's an idea.
Yeah, no kidding. I think that BB cream sounds like a good idea because sunscreen-wise, you're kind of already covered too, right?
That's right, and it gives a beautiful natural look, and it does even out your skin tone. Because I find a lot of women, they've got discoloration on their skin. They don't want to go in the sun, and they want a flawless finish. And it's by Rock, actually. They've just developed it. It also contains a retinol, but it's a 5-in-1 skin perfector, and it makes a huge difference.
Mm, nice. Okay, so how about nail colors? Is blue kind of the color of the season?
Well, blue corals are huge. And you know what? It seems to be a little bit of everything. Before, you'd go through the grays. Gray was very big. Mm-hmm. But they're more the pastel-y colors still, like the pinks, a bit of frost. Coral is big, and the greens.
Mm, I love the light pink. Moisturizers. Now, your legs, arms, you want to look good. Are there any? I know there's certain products you can spray on your legs to make them look even better. What kind of moisturizers do you like?
Well, the most important thing first before you even start using a body moisturizer is you need to use an exfoliator. You need to remove all the buildup of dry skin because our skin does work on a 28-day cycle. So if you want that smooth look, they've got a beautiful one in Clarins and in Biotherm also, and it just gives that sun-kissed look. Without that self-tanner, it looks very natural. It's very elegant looking.
So is that just for body or is that for everything?
You can use that actually on your face also.
And does it come off on your clothes, these things?
No. If you use it, a couple hours, 4 hours or whatever before you go to sleep, then the color note will not stain. They also have a new one by Saint Tropez, and it works in the shower. It's used like a bath and shower gel. It gives you the color. So you use it as a gel, put on a sponge or on your hands, apply it, rinse, step out, dry off, and you've got a suntan.
Nice.
It's absolutely amazing.
Do you have to walk around Starkers for a long time while you dry?
Well, yes, you do.
3 days.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And how about perfume this time of year? Because, you don't want that heavy stuff. And
they've got some light. They've got oils, which are very, very pretty, very soft. Also, we have some fragrances. It's a new launch by Lisoati, which is a Canadian company out of Montreal.
I know you like that line.
Well, this fragrance is... it's just a new launch. It's like a one-shot deal, and it is absolutely beautiful. It has vanilla and coconut base to it, so you spray it and it stays on. It's beautiful.
Mm. So what's it called?
It's called Lumiere by Lise Wattier.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, coconut. And normally I'm not a coconut girl, but this coconut and vanilla mix is beautiful.
Oh, nice.
And it's very feminine, very soft.
Okay, and probably one of the last things is hair, because there's different things we can put it up and all that, but if we have shorter hair or it's curly, what kind of products are we using to keep that sort of in line?
A lot of times they're used, we've got like, it's not sticky, but it's a lightweight balm for the hair, and that keeps the hair in place. And also they've got hairsprays that they're not like how it used to be where you sprayed it on and then it's stuck. It still will hold, but it gives you a natural look at the same time.
Hey, I'm from the Farrah Fawcett era, and my friend
Debbie
used to go home at lunch and you put those little sausage rolls in and you'd spray it with vinyl cement and you were done.
Well, I quite like that look, but that natural look is very easy to come by, and there's a whole slew of products for that.
Yeah, natural look. That wasn't really part of my generation, but I'm working on it. And great talking to you, Lisa
Great
Smith.
Talking to you.
If people want to know, want to see you, where are you at?
London Drugs on Yates Street.
And Lisa's been there a long time, and she'll help you out. Great work today, Josh. Thanks so much for being here. And thank you for joining us every Saturday. We love having you with us. Make sure you support CFAX. We've got BC Lions and your local Rebels and all your sports teams in town. Until we meet again, get out there and enjoy your summer.